Hello, everybody, and welcome to Aftermath UFC 299. Hi.
Hello.
You'll have to forgive me if I yawn at any point in this little fluff in the air. Almost. You'll have to forgive me if I yawn at all because I've been fighting yawning all day, even since I woke up. Last week was rather a long week, wasn't it? It was a good week, but it was a long week. We had three nights of combat sports, which we can talk to you about. Yeah,
but two in one.
Mm. Yeah, got a 2-for-1 on the Friday. So obviously, of course, PFL on Thursday, which was a great event, and one of the main reasons why I'm like Grandpa Simpson. I feel like I could Grandpa Simpson at any point in the. And then we had Ares on Friday night, which was an 8-fight card in a TV studio.
Yeah.
It was very cool. First of all, it was nice just to kind of be there and sit and watch and not have to do anything. But the fights were very good as well, especially the main event, Louis Lee Scott, Demarte Pena, for the bantamweight belt, right?
Yeah.
Man, 5 rounds. It was just a masterclass of martial arts. If you've not watched it, you've got Fight Pass. Get on there and watch it because, I mean, Demarte Pena is a very experienced fighter, isn't he? And he started out really well. But then Louis Lee Scott from like, what, the end of the second round with that spinning elbow, end of the second, from that point onwards, he just kind of slowly took over. And it was very, you know, I always speak highly of Corey Sandhagen. It was very Sandhagen-esque, the way that he was switching his stance to cut angles off for him. Really slick performance. And of course, your commentary was fantastic.
Well, you wouldn't know, would you?
I could hear you. I was tuned in.
Dude, I was so self-conscious about it because it's obviously the first studio.
Yeah.
So it used to being at the Dome of Paris where it's super loud and there's a bunch of people. So then the music would come on and that would be really loud. So I'd be talking into the mic basically, maybe too loud. I don't know. And then it would go silent. So I feel a bit awkward saying stuff because I'm like, these people could for sure
definitely hear me.
I don't want them to turn around and be like, shut up. Like, sorry, what are you talking about?
Cut you off. Ooh. Just having a bit of a technical issue. The screen's froze at the minute. You can still hear you, but
they can hear us. Okay, yeah. Well, at least they can hear us.
So
it's probably not such a bad. Well, I mean, you're on. If it was just me on my own, they'd probably be quite glad that the screen's frozen. Is it because I'm watching fights on my laptop, Jamie? Is that why? Am I taking up bandwidth?
Maybe. Maybe it's that. I'll pause the camera.
So it was a great event. Some good finishes, some good stoppages.
Yeah, and that Buffia is good, man.
Yeah, he's a wicked
really
jab.
Really good. He's just a sick southpaw, and you that jab. I think it's his like brother that's qualifying to go to the Olympics for boxing.
Right.
So they've been training together and stuff, and you can just tell.
Is he a tall southpaw as well? His brother.
I don't know. I'm guessing. I mean,
imagine them sparring together, like refining that jab. Yeah, yeah, he was very, very impressive. Early in his career as well, right? Not had many fights.
But like he did a lot of training with Hamzat. He went over there and it got to the point where Hamzat was taking him to, you know, to train in Dubai with him and in America. Yeah. So they clearly see a lot of potential in him to accomplish whatever he chooses
yeah,
to.
Yeah, yeah.
He was really impressive.
It was a catchweight, wasn't it? Was it a catchweight fight?
Yeah, I think it was a catchweight fight.
So you think he's normally a middleweight? Do you think he'd be naturally a middleweight?
What is that, Jamie?
Sorry, my bad.
Oh, no. Oh, the screen is frozen. Okay, I've just gone onto the feed, yeah. We're both kind of half
eyes
open.
It froze. You both look majestic. I do not look majestic.
We'll be back on in a second. Jamie's just rebooting everything. He has to wind the camera back up. That's what it is. And then, of course, after Ares, we went over to a nice little restaurant, what was called Mima's.
Yeah, Mima's.
Give him a shout out. Beautiful lasagna. Very, very nice. Oh, hang on. Someone said welcome back. Does that mean we're back on?
Yeah, should be back on.
Oh.
Hello, ladies. Should be back on. Apologies about that.
There we go. My posture's terrible.
I look like a dork.
Oh.
It's not because it froze. It's at any moment, if you'd freeze, I'd just look like a dork.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's very true.
Okay, and then...
And then in Gaunt, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So we didn't watch... Well, I caught a couple of bits of the undercard. I've not had a chance to go back and watch the rest of the undercard, but I had literally just come off a TalkSport interview with Adam Cattrall, and I was like, they were just about to walk out, and I was like, yep, Ngannou's going to do it. He's going to do it however he likes. He's going to take it to a decision and box his face off and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I was so hyped up from the Aries fights and so excited for Ngannou. I was like, I went all in on him. I'm like, life savings on red, go. And then obviously like 30 seconds, was pretty much as soon as it started, we kind of looked at each other and we were like, oh no.
He was just like parrying that like way forward. He didn't fight Fury like that.
No, he didn't. But the thing is, he didn't fight Fury like that, not because it was a decision, but because he was being cautious with his energy, I think.
Yeah, this time he was like, I got a gas tank and stuff.
Yeah. Like we did talk about it a bit, didn't we? Like he might be a bit too comfortable now he knows he's done 10 rounds and he might start opening up, and that's where AJ just looked super sharp, very technical, kind of mean.
Dude, that was surgical.
I liked it.
He just went in to have no emotion. Just straight stared at the camera. Straight. Super. And it wasn't like a stare, like a mean stare. He wasn't like mean mugging the camera. He was just staring.
Just cold.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Sociopathic cold. Yeah. After he didn't even celebrate.
It was a like very matter very of impressive. Fact. Yeah.
Like, yeah, this performance is matter of fact.
And he even said that skill. In his interview. I heard a soundbite today and he was like, I'm not even going to celebrate. I'm just going to. You know, roll on to the next one. It was like, I don't know, his mindset seems to be just rock solid, which was really my biggest question coming in. You know what I mean? It was like, okay, like, how is he going to be dealing with the pressure when he wakes up on fight day? Because I was trying to put myself in his shoes, and then I'm thinking to myself, and then how would he feel in the first round if he gets caught with a shot and he feels that, like, Ngannou's got a lot of power, or he clinches with him and he feels strong? Like, where's his confidence at? But that version of him was just like now I'm like, okay, whoever wins out of Fury and Usyk, I'm interested to see. Even if, because obviously AJ's lost to Usyk a couple of times, so like you go, well, do you really want to see that fight again? But this is a different version of him, I feel. Yeah, like this is like too. Yeah,
and he gave Joby a shout out, which was cool because Joby's the best.
Yeah it was like, I would have been interested to see, and obviously we can never do this. I would have been interested to see someone's asked who I've got out of AJ and Fury. You know what? If you'd have asked me before that fight, I would have said, hang on, has the screen gone again?
Yeah, it's gone again. One
second. Jamie. You had one job.
It's the one.
Stop putting thumbs up. It makes people mad.
What was I going to say? AJ, so if you'd have asked me up until that point, and I know obviously, you know, you can't, so what, he's not really proved a great deal by beating Ngannou because Ngannou's not really a boxer, but it was just the kind of the calmness and the presence that he had. Like, that's a version that I would be far more comfortable picking against Fury.
It was a bit like almost a robot.
Yeah. I still feel like Usyk, because like the thing is, like, Fury's big and awkward and clever, and that's why he can potentially like be really difficult for Usyk to deal with. But Usyk is like, he is smaller than AJ, of course, but he's not like a lot smaller by comparison.
Yeah.
Like, because Fury's kind of an awkward size, whereas AJ is just like big, and he's a big, strong athlete. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, Usyk's a big, strong athlete. He's just not quite as big, but I feel like it's not quite as problematic for him, the style of AJ compared to the... So, I don't know. I feel like they could all beat one another.
Mm.
I feel like AJ... Oh, we're back. I feel like AJ will do better against Fury than Usyk will, but I feel like AJ would struggle more against Usyk than he would against Fury. Does that make sense?
That makes sense.
I just feel like, because he's kind of the athlete that's got the size, and Fury's not really an athlete, but he's tricky and clever, and he's massive and awkward. And then you've got Usyk, who's kind of undersized, but he's a good athlete, and he's tricky and clever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And, yeah. Fury looks like Despicable Me.
Don't...
that's when I see Fury, I see Despicable Me.
What's his name?
Gru, I think.
Gru?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Usyk just looks like he's mental.
Yeah. So do you reckon Ngannou should come back to MMA now then? You want to see him back in the MMA gloves?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I think we need to see him back in MMA gloves.
Yeah, I think
for
so.
For sure. I want to see him fight Henan Fajeda.
That would
Although
be
I
sick.
Although I think Fajeda's...
Fajeda's like 8 foot tall.
Yeah. He's very, very dangerous. And he's fast. Very quick as well. And John Jones thinks he would beat Ngannou. Although that might just be, John Jones trash talking.
Well, he only said it to you, so I don't know how that is trash talking.
Yeah, what's he going to say? Would he say, oh, no, I still think Ngannou beats him? Because, the thing is, Henan Fajeda is far more kind of John Jones kind of movement.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like Jones can see the way that Henan Fajeda beats Ngannou because that's the way that John Jones would beat Ngannou.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
What?
So anyway, I didn't watch the rest of the fights on that. Hang on, we froze again.
You guys were happening.
Thumbs up. When people do thumbs up, it's freezing.
Is that right?
What do you mean?
So maybe if I thumbs up it will unfreeze. Hang on, Charlie said what? Charlie Crow, thoughts on DJ saying Joshua would be... DJ's in Demetrius Johnson.
Joshua would beat Ngannou in MMA.
I mean, but
the thumbs up bubble is your problem.
Is that right?
Who's pressing Jamie, are you pressing thumbs up bubble?
We're going to have a fight in here and you're not going to be able to see it because the stream's down. Oh, we're back.
Yeah.
We're back.
Put on makeup for this. Keeps freezing. I'm getting angry. Okay. No, let's not get to Benoit Saint-Denis just yet. Because
what? No, hang on. Charlie, we've not dealt with Charlie's
yes,
question.
Charlie.
So Charlie's question was, would Joshua beat Ngannou in MMA? I'm not saying he couldn't cross over to mixed martial arts, but there would be a lot to learn. There would be a lot for him to learn before he would be competitive. I imagine him taking a low kick from Ngannou. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. I'm not saying he couldn't do it, because I think if he put his mind to it and he dedicated the time, then he could. But now, take him and put some MMA gloves on and fight Ngannou, no chance. Because Ngannou's maybe... Yeah, but then Demetrius Johnson said that. I'm disappointed in him. Okay, yeah, no, Sean, yeah. I think you're right, he is saying it for clicks. No one wants to watch him power washing his drive. That's what it is. He has to say something a bit more interesting.
It is not me. I don't even know how to do that bubble thumbs up, okay? It's clearly Jamie.
Because blaming Jamie.
There's no way Dan knows how to do that either.
I don't know how to do it.
Exactly.
I'm even surprised I was able to get the feet up on my MacBook.
No, I wouldn't sabotage. It's,
you wouldn't sabotage.
Definitely someone in the chat.
He wouldn't dare because V would kick him in the head. And if you do it again, then the feed goes down. You don't see V kick him in the head, so that's a lose-lose situation for everybody. Okay, well, should we talk about some UFC stuff then?
Yeah, let's talk about UFC.
First of all, congratulations to JoJo Wood for her retirement and a successful retirement fight, which doesn't always happen, especially when you've decided, apart from Chris Lytle, who kicked my ass in his retirement fight, Warren Chris Lytle as well. It doesn't happen very often. People don't tend to... They tend to get beaten up and then retire, as opposed to... say they're going to retire and then beat someone up and it was a good fight, and she clinched it in the final round with that spinning the spinning elbow, wasn't it? And also congratulations to Joanna Champion for getting a spot in the Hall of Fame, which was awesome. Like that little bit that they played,
that was so sick to
and
watch.
she was like crying and then trying to be cool and turned away from the camera. She's like, okay, it's been 25 minutes now, get the next fight walked. Very much congratulations to Joanna. We were just saying we need to go back and watch some of her earlier fights, because for me, that one of my favorite examples of takedown offense in MMA was Mirko Krokop against Mark Coleman back in Pride. Wicked takedown offense, super quick, very nasty, very punishing with his striking as well. And then Joanna did what she did to Carla Esparza to win the belt. And that for me was like, that is a really good example of takedown offense with nasty ground and pound and Muay Thai striking. So yeah, congratulations to Joanna. What else on the card? We had that massive Despain.
Yeah, wait.
Oh, hang on.
Wait, hold on. Let's go fight number two. Because I'm glad we didn't do the Picks podcast because how do I pronounce this? Almabayev. Asu yeah. Almabayev.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Look at that. What, too difficult?
Professional.
Look at you. Go on.
He was sick.
Yes, he was.
He looked great.
Took all the skin off his knees, though, wrestling.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Honestly, it's the worst. Sometimes the punches worst. Don't even hurt that much in comparison to that.
But the shower afterwards.
The shower. Oh, it's not even burns. The shower after, and that's it, because you think that's it. No, it's a shower for like 2 weeks.
Yeah. Sore. Stings. What are you laughing at, Jamie?
I found the fix. Apparently on the new Mac upgrade, it gives you reactions to your live videos.
Oh, is that right?
I've just turned it off.
That was what it was.
That's what it was, people. So.
Okay. So Jamie's fixed it
technically
now.
He fixed what he messed up.
No, it's Apple making weird adjustments.
Oh, okay.
Jamie blaming Apple.
Apple. It's Apple's fault. Okay. Well, at least we're down to blame Jamie. That's a good thing. You know, Jamie's are hard to come by. Okay, so you want to go through? So you want to talk about that fight? What do you want to tell me about it?
Nothing. It was just sick.
Just
it
a
was
good
just
fight. It was
like systematically took him down. Systematically broke him down. It was beautiful. CJ Vergara missed weight again for the 8,000,000th time. He's just like
Yeah.
Maybe in his head he just deducts the purse already before.
Maybe.
So it's not like sad.
Maybe he feels like his opponent, you know, is deserving of the extra 20% for fighting him.
30%.
30%? Is that because he keeps missing weight? Do they just keep adding 10% on?
No, because he'd be at 100.
Eventually he's going to be paying to fight. Okay.
No, that was a cool fight.
Yeah, so Despain and Josh Parisian sprinting at him.
It was a little bit like somebody that's like 7 foot tall.
I know, right?
Like a heavyweight. I understand. Look, you could sprint at a straw weight and probably get away with it. You can sprint at, you know, like people lower weight.
Can't sprint at this guy.
You can't sprint at a heavyweight. He was like mid in the air when he connected.
Maybe he was hoping to get inside of his arms as quickly as he could. You know what I mean? Like that might have been the logic. Like just like,
yeah, like get I get it because his kicks were dangerous, you know, like coming from Taekwondo and stuff. Mm. But you still won't run at it at the hope. I just think he got overly excited because Despain threw that kick and he fell down. And then he was like, oh, that was my opportunity. Yeah.
Go. Yeah. And then
he looked really comfortable though.
Yeah.
Just like he just looked like, yeah, I belong here.
Why wouldn't you? You're bigger than everybody in the room.
I know. I would feel like if I was Stefan Struve size, I would just be like, yeah.
Yeah. 87 inch reach. That's what it says on his...
The longest, I think, in the UFC.
Yeah, John Jones, 84 and a half, and he had the longest for a long while. God, can you imagine having limbs like that? Just boom, from
you
right
could reach anything.
Anything.
Any shelf I could reach. I don't have to climb on anything.
Imagine if you just had one arm like that. Just a reaching arm.
Yeah, they'll be you know,
like
jab
those, like, you know, like those... Is it the slow loris that has the long fingers for getting insects out of trees? Like, you know what I mean?
I don't know. I don't look at that at like 2 in
well,
the morning.
Well, I'm educating you then, you know, natural history and all that. I don't know. It I was thinking about it watching the MVP fight, just to kind of jump around a little bit, because he's got very long limbs as well. And the way that he fights makes them look even longer. Do you know what I mean? Like he kind of stands and they're like sway. And then the distance he covers when he moves is like, yeah. Like it would take me twice the time to get that same distance.
But I feel like that's also a karate style.
Yeah, for sure.
Like that's something, like when I did karate, that was.
That's why I did like full contact have and not that. Point, not the semi contact, because I wasn't quick enough. People like kick me in the head. I'm like, yeah.
All right, next fight.
Okay. What was
Michael
it?
Pereira versus Delord?
Yeah, he looked a lot better at middleweight.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how he ever made welterweight looking at him as a middleweight. He looked really strong. He looked very healthy. And Oleg Shejuk, even when he was a light heavyweight, it was quite obvious he wasn't big enough for light heavyweight.
Mm-hmm.
But He just looks like a smaller version of himself at light heavyweight. He doesn't look like he, like Jared Cannonier went from being kind of a soft heavyweight to lift, 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 diet, 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 and now he's muscles and there's no excess weight on him. He just looks like he kind of shrunk himself.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? He's like lost muscle mass instead of losing body fat. He's not managed the process of dropping the weight class very well.
Like, and then you get the biggest guy ever.
Yeah.
In the division. That was almost like when Santiago Ponzinibbio fought him, coming off like, you know, like a big just injury and stuff. Yeah. It was like, you're going to get one of the biggest guys ever. Was it Ponzinibbio or was it
Ponzinibbio fought the Leech when he came off his...
Well, it's same. The two are ginormous.
Yeah, yeah, but that's the thing.
Two of the ginormous in the division.
But that's the thing is, Pereira came up from welterweight, and Oleg Sejuk's come down from light heavyweight. And Oleg Sejuk
looks the other way around.
It does for sure. Oleg Sejuk looks like he could come down another weight class. He just looks like he lost muscle mass. He didn't like, you know, he didn't like reduce his weight properly. Yeah.
All right. Next. Philip Linz versus Ion Cutelaba.
Cutelaba looked better with his a little bit calmer, a little bit more, you know, not quite as, like, obviously he showed up at the weigh-ins green, but...
Oh, you see Dana White was like...
Yeah. It's kind of funny. Go up and give him a big hug. Sorry, you can burn that t-shirt and buy a new one. Yeah, I don't have much to say about that fight, really. I just kind of, like, I don't know, like...
Well, there was a lot of really good, what do you call it? Like, he utilized calf kicks really well to then set up his takedowns, because then you couldn't stop a takedown because, you know, you don't have much base under you.
Yeah.
So that was really good. I don't understand why he did that. And, like, the third round, he just looked like he kind of gassed himself out for that.
Yeah.
But
Kyler Phillips looked good.
Dude, Kyler Phillips.
Dude.
I've been saying Kyler Phillips is good for a long time.
Saying long time.
Long saying. Time. Kyler Phillips.
She's been saying.
Kyler Phillips.
Long time.
Mario Bautista. Corey Sandhagen. I've been saying that. They're sick.
Been saying.
For
sick.
A long time.
Michael Venom Page. Sick.
Why do you make fun of me
I'm not making fun. I'm just making
Well,
fun.
Not all of them are sick.
No.
I'm going to tell you that because I don't enjoy watching all of them.
Okay.
Okay.
You heard it at first. She don't enjoy all of it. Not all of it.
Some, I'm like, come
yeah,
on.
Yeah. That is true, though. I mean, I'm not going to mention anybody specifically, but like sometimes I do find myself, if I don't feel like either of the fighters has got a plan, I find it really, really quite frustrating to watch. I feel like it's like kind of, and not that I was any good at any kind of Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat games or anything. I was the button masher guy, but like that's what some people's fighting styles look like. And I'm not really saying anybody on this card necessarily. However, when you compare it to Peter Yang, Song Yadong, or O'Malley, Vera, that level of technical striking, you know what I mean? Even Della Maddalena against Gilbert Burns, the way he kind of built his striking into it, not necessarily being very quick, but like specific with what he was doing. It's really, really nice to see it. Kyler Phillips has got a wicked skill set. I thought he looked very, very good.
So here's my question.
Go on then.
Joe Rogan loves back kicks. How come he wasn't even reactive to all the back kicks Kyler Phillips threw? They were clean.
Because Joe Rogan's got a really, really good back kick. So unless it's a super duper perfect decimates their rib cage back kick, he's not excited anymore.
Yeah.
He has got a really good back
kick. He does have a really good back kick.
He used to come in. So on the evening sessions at 10th Planet back in the day, when legends existed on La Brea between Hollywood and Sunset, It was like we had these evening sessions. They started at, I think it was 7:30, and we just kind of get on the mat and gather, and you know. But 8 to like 9:30 was when it was cooking in there, and there was like 50, 60 people on the mat, and like the last sort of 45 minutes where it was predominantly just rolling, and it was just like it was just gross in there, steamed up, sweaty, gross, you know. And Rogan would show up like just before everyone started to roll. And he'd just kind of like stretch and, you know, and then he'd just like on the other side of the gym, he'd just be kicking these bags like the gym felt like it was shaking. He's got this ability to like tuck up and twist and generate power. I mean, like you do with your back kick,
mine's not as good as Joe Rogan's.
But you've got a very, very good back.
Gotta be honest.
Joe Rogan's, he's like no fat on the bone.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? It's clean. Super quick. And the thing is as well, he's hitting a tie bag, which is, you know, like what, a foot across? So if you're even slightly off on that, you don't get a very good connection, and he was on the money every time.
Yeah, no, it is. He is pretty sick.
Yeah. We did watch some good back kick finishes the other day, didn't we? Dave Loazo against Chainsaw Charles McCarthy.
Oh, that was cool.
That was bad.
That was
yeah, you can feel it. Feel it when you see it land. Matthias Gamrot
versus RDA.
I'll be honest. I mean, I would love to see Gamrot against Lazy King. I think that would be a wicked grappling match.
Yeah.
Gamrot's grappling is wicked, isn't it? It's very, very slick. I would love to see him. I mean, I feel like he's going to need to just develop his striking a little bit more for the very top of this division. Like, he needs to be just a little bit more dangerous on his feet so his level change is not as easy to predict.
But do you think it's just like a confidence thing, though? Because, like, towards later on, towards the end, once he got RDA's timing for the takedown, you know, based on the way he moved, he just kind of changed that to pulling him onto a jab. And that was really nice that he was using it. He kept like pulling, and it looked like the same sort of setup movement that he does for those really low single and takedowns. He just looks like he did it, but then instead of going down, he chose to jab.
It's just more
and that looked good.
Yeah, I don't know. I just sometimes feel like, especially when someone's putting him under pressure. You know what I mean? I feel like sometimes he's got a very, very quick level change. He's very good at disappearing onto the legs, the ankles and stuff. But I don't know. I always like to see a fighter that can just kind of tuck up, stand their ground a little bit more.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Hang on a minute. Where'd it go? Something about a frog on here.
There's a frog?
No, here. Flying frog of death. Did he just call MVP a button masher? Lol. You're not listening, my friend. I was saying that there are certain fighters out there that are like button mashers. Of course, MVP is not one of them. He's not one of them. He looked very good.
Yeah, we got to go in order.
All right.
There has to be a structure to this before people comment. This is the worst podcast I've ever seen in my life. There is no structure to any of it, just random tangents. So, you know, I'm taking feedback.
I mean, you've seen a couple of the episodes of War Rooms. Like, there is very, very little structure.
Yeah, but then you're talking about one fight. Here we're talking about like 8,000 that happened fighting. Last week. I need to...
It's all fighting. Just put them all in a blender and see what we get on the end of it. It's... I like a tangent.
Mm.
Go on then. What? So go on.
No, that's it. We're moving on.
Oh, okay. Okay. We can move on now, can we? But only to the next fight, which is Macy Barber against Caitlin Kerminia.
Yes.
Okay. Kerminara.
Yeah.
I was waiting for DC to call a carbonara. I just felt like...
I know, you said that, or marinara.
He's like, he's gonna call her a pasta sauce name at some point. what did you think to that?
I wish Caitlin would go to 135 and just get jacked.
Do you think she has the body type too, though? Like, do you think if she decided, like Macy Barber, if she decided to be a middleweight, like, you know what I mean? It'd take her about 2 weeks to be like hench at that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But yeah, like, she has a more giving body to like get strong.
Yeah.
And Chikagian has like a longer body.
She's not Chikagian.
Oh. Okay. Serminara.
Kerminara. Serminara? Which one was it? No, I feel Serminara. Like I was saying, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Serminara.
Serminara, okay. Like she's technical. She's got good boxing. She's got good footwork.
I felt like she was technically better, but Macy just like went for it more. Yeah. She was like, you ain't having nothing.
Yeah, just beat her up, roughed her up.
Yeah, because I felt watching that in the second round, I'm like, oh, cool, like she did. And maybe because she was training for the ADCC, she kind of wanted to like showcase her grappling. She was probably getting a load of submissions, but Macy just has that type of style that
she's a bully, for sure,
and she fights you like a bully, and you can't always like technique a bully. Yeah. You gotta set traps to them,
and she's got a like good hustle El Matador. As well.
Yeah, she has a really good hustle.
Yeah, she never stops. What else? Do you want to move on? Any more? Yeah. Okay.
Oh, unless you want to say something.
No.
Okay. Okay. Right before this fight, Curtis. Right. What?
No, you're setting the structure.
I'm not.
I'm just here for the ride.
Okay, just... Curtis Blades, Jalton Almeida. Did I not say watch Curtis Blades pull the Anderson? Be like, there's levels. There's levels.
You did, yeah, you did. What I did really enjoy was...
In case you wanted to say you did it, so I needed to beat you to it.
What I did like was that straight away in the post-fight interview, Curtis Blades explained exactly what he'd seen in his research and why he did it. He's like, yeah. He shoots his head to the inside, so stuffed his head, got my stomach on top of it, and then I knew he couldn't go anywhere, couldn't posture up. I thought he was really good. So,
and what did you think about what Dean Thomas said about you're not inflicting any damage? Something about my fighters didn't inflict damage.
Yeah, I mean, I like that point. I say this to you a lot, don't I? Like, you can dominate a round with wrestling and grappling and keep taking someone down, and you know, you may potentially make them more tired than you are, but you're both going to be tired. And when the fight starts in the next round, you've not invested anything in as far as damage. Like, investing in fatigue is valuable, but investing in damage is always more valuable, given the fact that it's a scoring criteria.
Yeah.
Right? Like we're not measuring who's got the highest heart rate or anything like that. Like, what you need to do is beat the person down. And when you've got so much control in a fight, and this happens often as well, is we'll see someone who's so dominant with their wrestling, but they're so dominant because they're not letting go to strike. Do you know what I mean? What are you giggling at? Are you reading the chat?
People's reaction to Macy Barber and those shorts, which was all over Instagram as well.
Sorry, I don't see it. It's
hilarious. okay, about the uppercut. I don't think it was the uppercut that did it, because no. He was switching.
That's false news from the commentary. Yeah, team. Joe asked about it.
He was on the way
the,
to switch to the other side.
Yeah.
Because of how the takedown flow was going.
Yeah, he dug an underhook. It was the strikes. Like, Joe asked him in the post-fight interview about it. It was just he dug an underhook to stop the takedown, and then his head was on the inside. It was
So sometimes, and I know, like, that's weird, because I saw it with Johnny Walker and Ryan Spann, and then there was a different Johnny Walker fight that I watched where the person's going for the takedown and you're getting like elbowed and they just don't move or something. But I don't know, sometimes I feel like people think it's going to stop or it kind of hurts you more than you think it is and you feel a bit frozen.
Yeah.
And they're heavyweight, so they don't have to hit you that hard.
Yeah. That's very true.
See, Mr. Gold.
Okay, main card?
Yes. For the fight of the night.
Hell of a fight.
Fight of the night.
Hell of a fight. Peter Yang, Song Yadong. Hell of a fight. And even the first round where it was like, in fact, let me have a look at the stats. It was kind of like not a lot happened in the first round, really, when there was a lot of posturing and twitching. And,
yeah,
do you know what I mean?
And you were gloating. You were like, he's moving good and stuff. And I was like, oh,
gloating, like, yeah. I had responsibility for... I was appreciating...
For your picks.
Oh, no.
It's all about the picks here.
I forget. I always ask you what picks I made. I forget what picks I made.
No, you knew for this one. People think I was a bit nervous. Because Song Yadong showed up with like swag, you know? he had like, yeah, blonde hair. He was confident. I'm like, oh, is this like Derek, like blonde Brunson? Is this a mythical MMA fighter? But Peter Yan,
yeah, Song looked really good though.
He did look really good.
He did look really good.
That was a really good fight.
Yeah,
I feel like I could watch it over and over and pick up new things and learn new things from. They were both really good, and Song just looked like the more physical, athletic fighter. Like,
in the first round, he looked really quick, and he made Peter Yan look kind of old, I thought.
Yeah,
but then Peter Yan's wisdom started to kick in a little bit.
Exactly.
I'm just looking at the stats here. So in the first round, it was 23 to 22 strikes, one strike in favor of Peter Yan in the first round. But then obviously Song got that takedown and some control. And the second round, then Peter Yan went up to 61 strikes compared to 40. for Yadong. Like it was competitive, like all the way through. It was a good fight, and then the last round, you know, PT Yan's got a minute quarter of control and a takedown credited, and then he outlanded him just by three strikes. Hell of a fight. I've actually only had time to watch all of these once because I was doing the war room stuff as well for this weekend's main event coming up. So I'm gonna go back and watch these again at some point very soon, probably tomorrow morning. But it was just a good card, you know. Like and the next one as well, Jack Della Maddalena, he has got really nice striking. Like, and what I like about him as well is that you don't look at him and you don't go, right, well, he's effective because he's quick and because he's, you know, like these he has good fundamentals and he makes them work. That's very, I very much appreciate that, because not everybody can be, you know, not everybody can be an MVP and be super quick, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or a Ray Cooper that's got power that can just touch people and switch them off.
He never looks like desperate for anything, mm-mm, though. Yeah. Like he almost, like he foresaw the future and he knows that he's going to get the knockout shot or something. I never see him look, oh, I'm losing this round or I'm losing this.
Yeah.
Gilbert Burns just broke my heart, man. Oh, when that knee landed, I was like, no. And then the referee kind of kept it going because he was winning the fight up until that point.
Mm.
So I'm like, if he survives, then my pick is correct. But I didn't want to see him die for my pick.
Yeah. And that, the timing on that knee. That was a, you that, nailed that. That you got that scramble today. Gone. You did that little scramble today at the training where you ran up and over the wall.
Yeah, don't tell people.
What?
Because
what?
What did they then expect it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And then, yeah, then if I do it, it's not as cool because you said I did it. But if it just comes as a surprise, people will be like, oh, yeah.
No, I think it's better to show people that you trained it. Because then they're like, oh, okay, she's worked that and she nailed it there.
No, yeah, you do that after, though. Okay. Like, after you do your little Instagram, like, oh, this is not coincidence.
Sorry, I forgot to video it. You'll have to do it again. I'll video it next time. And we'll archive it for when you nail it in a fight.
If it'll work again.
I did a sit-out once in a fight, in my UFC debut against Gono, and I used to drill him all the time, but I just, whatever reason, never used to get him in training. I don't know why, but in this particular one, I don't remember exactly why I was in the position, but I was in turtle and he was over me and I just hit the sit out like I'd done it 1,000 times and nailed it every time. And like I remember as I did it, like my corner team, like there was like a gasp from them, like like was that accidental? Did you slip? Yeah. Anyway.
I was surprised at Della Maddalena's decision making. Like he looked like he switched it from Basil, whatever. Like he switched it.
Mm.
He was like, okay, learn my lesson. That's it. Never gonna happen to me again.
Yeah.
He looked really good. Really, and this is one of the fighters that I've been like interested in seeing because Laura Sanko has been. Because she saw him from the Dana White Contender Series.
Mm.
So that's cool because she's seen fighters kind of from there go to the UFC. So whenever she really hypes a fighter up, I think, oh, it might be worth like following just before they get to the point of popularity.
Yeah.
And he's won. And then Shavkat's won. And they called each other out. Well, he called Shavkat out.
Mm.
So there's like the Joe Rogan picks. There's like the Laura Sanko picks. And Laura Sanko.
They showed corner against. You know what I mean? Like Sanko should be in one corner, Rogan should be in the other, and then I have a separate
but they're both
team.
They're both Sankos.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Oh, well then she's being greedy, isn't she? She has to pick one. you could only wear one hat, Laura. Pick a hat. Here's a question from Onat. Can you comment on Jack Della Maddalena's punching technique? It looks like his punches are slow, but they really hurt. Yeah, like, the thing is, I mean, I've found this a few times with people that were very good with their legs. Sometimes, like, if the kick doesn't come at the right speed, be it fast or slow, it can catch you. I remember someone that used to have this really kind of slow, labored kick, and I feel like I would block it and move my arm, and then it would kick me. I'm like, I blocked that kick. That came, like, 15 seconds too late.
That's happened to me, too.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But the thing is, with Della Maddalena, it's his placement. It's his ability to move his head and slip and counter. So he's capitalizing on people throwing at him as well. It's just good fundamental technique. And the thing is, like, if you took what he does and then you made him faster and hit with a bit more power, he would be incredibly dangerous. And he's still dangerous, but he just lacks a little bit of that sharp snap that, you know, which is why his punches look slightly more labored than other people's. But I honestly don't think that matters, especially given the fact that he's comfortable fighting at that close range. Like, there are a few fighters I don't even think Sean Strickland's pretty quick. I think his punches come at an unusual speed, and that's a lot of the time why he catches people. And I do think there is a value to that. Like, Bruce Lee always used to talk about cadence, and your ability to control your cadence, so you're not always working on the same beat. You know what I mean? You can then kind of slow things down. And, like, we talk about Chavez and the way that he pops his right hand instead of really powers it. Like, those, the ability to be able to control that in a fight is a very, very difficult thing to do. And I think that Della Maddalena has crafted his striking game to be so fundamentally sound that it kind of covers up the fact that he's not as quick as a lot of the people he's fighting.
Yeah.
You know? I think he's a really interesting one to watch, especially, you know, now you've got this, like, crop coming through of welterweights, you know, him being one of them, Shavkat, Ian Garry, etc. MVP, you put him in the list. Did you see MVP's response to Ian Garry being critical of his chances? He said that he wouldn't stand a chance against Kevin Holland, and MVP had just the best response. He was super polite, and he was like, he's entitled to his opinion, you know, etc., and I'm happy for him, he's got his opinion, and I'll look forward to proving him wrong when I knock him out. Love it.
Okay, speaking of
UFC rankings, that was
one. Next fight.
Yes.
MVP versus Kevin Holland. Everybody said I was biased. I was. But I was right.
Right to be biased. Suck it.
Yeah. No, not that far.
It was a good fight, but what I will say,
I was happy that I was right about being biased.
Because you weren't right much, were you? So,
okay, what Gilbert Burns is better than that double shoot off against the face. That was a fight that he was winning, and he made a bad decision. Yep. And
if he'd have known that you'd have picked him, he wouldn't have made that decision.
Oh, and then to have Tate there with, like, oh, it broke my heart, man. Yep. All those elbows.
Yeah.
I was like, oh. Oh. And then I was like, okay, well, stop it. Okay, I don't want to be right that much.
Not that much.
No, I prefer...
Kind of like being right, but not that much.
No, not in the safety of the fighters getting hurt.
Yeah.
Unless I don't like...
You're so mean.
I'm not mean.
So currently, Jack Della Maddalena is ranked number 11, but of course this is Monday, so they'll be updating these tomorrow, won't they? Which means that he'll be creeping up the rankings. I wonder who they'll give him next. Colby Covington would be fun. He's just below Gilbert Burns. Gilbert Burns is at number 4. There's some killers in this division now. Sean Brady. Tank. Skills for days. Tattoos for days.
Yeah, pretty sick tattoos.
Yeah.
Respect. Okay, MVP, Kevin Holland.
Tell me.
Bam!
Is that it? That's your contribution. Just a little drum roll. Just a little, oh, hang on, we've got a question. Okay. And a donation. Thank you very much. Thank you. Veronica will buy coffee with that. What did you think of MVP's Undertaker walkout song? Love it. Love it. Even the Undertaker commented on it, didn't he? He tweeted, he was like, dig it. Dig it.
He looked good. He looked fast. I love the way he, you know, was connecting that right hand out of a range. It was almost like, I felt when Kevin Holland went to his corner, he was like, that's it. He's too fast for me.
Yeah. Yeah, after the first round, he literally said that. He was like, he's faster than we thought. And then in his head, he just kind of just checked out.
Yeah, because it's kind of like Kevin Holland's usually the weird opponent to his opponents, right? Mm. He's the one that is loose, you know, like kung fu and does all like slapping and back around. But you have somebody who is a bit more direct and better at that loose
thing. Yeah, goes back to the conversation about button mashing and not. Like, and I don't mean this necessarily in a disrespectful way, and not necessarily. I don't mean it in a disrespectful way, because a lot of fighters do have that flow state style of fighting. Mm. The good side to that is that you could think on the spot and be very adaptable. The bad side to that is that you don't necessarily know when you're being led into a trap, because you're just working on instinct and reaction, and you're not necessarily monitoring yourself and your reactions. So that's the difference between the two. For me, MVP's got a plan with what he's doing. He's got certain traps that he's working on and certain things that he's looking to land, whereas Holland will throw whatever comes to mind because you're closest to that weapon.
He throws at what he sees is available.
Just to send a question back to William C84, would you like to see Undertaker walk out of MVP next time? That would be sick, wouldn't it?
Jonathan Haggerty versus Sean O'Malley. Who would win? I think Haggerty lights him up. From David.
In a striking only match.
Yeah. I think
you're probably bang on. But in an MMA fight, I feel like Haggerty's still got a long way to go before he is on that level. He's a great, great striker. And he is fighting MMA, isn't he? He's got a. Is he not fighting Andrade for his belt? I think he is. The thing that's interesting for me about Sean O'Malley is that he's one of the generation that didn't start with anything before MMA. Mm. You know, like, he wasn't doing long stance with a high block and learning. He didn't learn any of that.
8,000 forms.
Right. Like,
so many hours of forms.
Like, imagine if you'd have taken all of those hours and hours that you spent learning forms and you invested them into something MMA specific. I'm not saying there's not a benefit to doing those things and repeating those things, but for very specific training, there's always going to be a benefit, isn't there?
Yeah.
I like Haggerty, though, and I think that if he decided to switch to MMA full time, he would be very good. Okay. We're still talking about MVP. What else do you want to say?
Nothing, just happy for him.
Just happy for him. Happy for yourself, because you picked him.
Yeah, but I'm more happy for MVP than for being right about my pick.
Yeah?
Yeah, it doesn't always happen, but he's one of the ones.
I don't buy that. I think you're more happy for yourself and the fact that you got it right.
People are going to think I'm horrible.
I think you'd have been mean to MVP if you'd have picked him and not,
like, next time I saw him.
You're like, dude, you embarrassed me out there, dude. Pitch you on the podcast. 26 people saw me pick you on the podcast. You had to go and get beaten in front of millions of people and embarrass me.
Okay, Dustin Poirier, Benoit Saint Denis.
I'm surprised, honestly, he didn't thank you in his post-fight interview.
For picking him,
yeah. He should have done, really. Maybe that's why he went to grab the mic back from Rogan. He was like, I forgot to thank Veronica for picking me.
It's okay. It's all right.
Okay.
Okay.
Hang on. We've had another question.
Okay, sorry.
HDI. MVP's distant management works against wrestlers. Well, this is the question, you see. Like, you're always going to be at danger when you're moving into the range of MVP. And I will, actually, that's just reminded me. Good question. The start of the third round where they walked out. And Kevin Holland kind of meanders to the center with his hand up, and MVP pops him with two punches and was like, oh shit, I didn't mean you were, didn't even.
Yeah, well, to be honest, when I saw it, he walked into the weird center, like, and then did this. Like, you could posture up to do a jab for sure from that.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like you're pawing at the person.
Yeah, it was a bit of a weird situation. There's no way that you can walk into MVP's range without being in incredible danger. Of course, once you're inside his range, if you're able to take him down, then that's where most people are going to assume that he's going to lose his fights if he does in fact lose some. I do know he's got good takedown defense. I mean, I've watched him spar in his own gym, and I know his coaches have got excellent excellent techniques and takedown defense knowledge. But that is always going to be the question with a striker like MVP. And we'll see at this level. We'll see. The good thing with MVP is that he's had a lot of time to develop his skill set before he stepped into the UFC.
Yeah.
You know, so kind of like Michael Chandler, he's just stepped in kind of like a very favorable mid-level of the rankings, in my opinion, where he doesn't have to do all the kind of slugging through the prelims, and you know what I mean?
He's
done that against potentially a lower, like, because he didn't run into a Sean Brady or a Jack Della Maddalena. Mm. You know what I mean? He ran into some very tough guys, but this is a level up, and that's what we're interested in seeing. But I don't underestimate him in any way. I think he's a very, very capable individual. The skills that he's got, of course, applied correctly, can beat anybody in the division. But of course, there's also going to be
I think it kind of like depends. Like Alex Pereira, I think he was given good matchups to get to the point where he's at.
Mm.
And I think if you give people good matchups stylistically, even if they're hard matchups, they're good for their style.
Yeah.
Then I'm sure he can go a long way.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
And because he's so marketable, they might give him a good matchup next. Like I thought Kevin Holland was a good matchup because it was similar styles. I just felt MVP was better at that style.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Dustin Poirier versus Benoit Saint-Denis. On the Picks podcast, I know I picked Saint-Denis, but I also put in the comment that...
Oh, hang on.
I changed my pick.
This is the disclaimer.
Because if you show up with staff on your face...
She's played the staff card.
No, it's not only that. We shot this right before we went to France. And then we went to France and we're talking to some of the French teams and they were like, he's had like some struggles with training and stuff, like injuries. And I'm sorry. The first thing I thought was my picks.
First thing you thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, like, sucks. Like, sucks.
You can't play
the
staff card.
You can't play it.
You can't.
The dude had a horn coming out of his head.
Should change his name to Hellboy. Look, he still made a good effort. My criticism of him is this, and I'm a fan of his style. I thoroughly enjoy watching him fight. If you know you're on antibiotics, if you know you've got staff, you don't start the fight at 100 miles an hour, right? Like, be chill with the first round. Take your time a little bit. He only needs to crack him one time with a good clean shot. You win the round with that. Like, that for me showed where Dustin Poirier's wisdom comes into play. Like, he was just class start to finish. You know what I mean? Like, even into his post-fight interview, he just was great all the way through.
Yeah.
There was always a risk that Benoit Saint-Denis was just going to blow him out of the water because he's just so aggressive. And once he started, he just doesn't seem to be able to go, hang on a minute, let me just stop for a second, take a breather. And if he's not able to manage himself, like, I have still had the same concerns about Chimaev. Like, had he not finished Kevin Holland, I feel like he would have run out of gas. Because the pace at which he started was not maintainable.
Yeah.
Right? So that, for me, was a good lesson. It kind of checked him for a second and went, hang on. Work on this first, and then you're ready to come back to the table and fight these big, the top-level guys.
I understand, but the reason that I picked him was not available for him to use. Like, let's say I pick somebody because they're going to have a good check left hook, and then their hand's broken.
Yeah.
So then...
But work around it. Like, this is the thing. Like, work around it. Like, and...
Man, I have fought on antibiotics. You have about 20 seconds of cardio before you feel like death.
I know.
And you feel like death already. But and weight cutting plus is horrendous.
Okay.
Horrendous.
So, okay. But with that in mind then, if you then, in fact, you know... Because it's not a secret to you that you're on antibiotics. You know you're on antibiotics. So you know that the antibiotics are going to affect you when you're fighting. So you still have a decision to A, put yourself in there or not. And if you do decide to put yourself in there, then you have to manage yourself as an athlete based on the knowledge that you have that you're on antibiotics. Benoit Saint-Denis went like all in on a first round finish. Like, there's no way I can fight the distance. And even if he'd have done that, even if he'd have gone, okay, I'm going to go all in on one round. Make it the second round. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You understand?
No.
Like, it was just kind of a reckless way, especially...
I do understand. He just...
Like, that would have been a reckless way of fighting if he was completely healthy and if he was just...
I feel like he almost got, like, that arm bar at the end that he, like, turned, but just Dustin had, like, turned his arm and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I do agree. I do agree that he went, you know, because sometimes it's a bit wishful thinking when you go out there. You kind of go, especially if you know that you're not okay. You go out, like Peter Jan or whatever, went out with a groin injury in hopes that it was going to win. But it doesn't always happen, right? But then if you do win, you can go out and be like, oh, I went out with a groin injury and still won and stuff. And if you don't, people are like, oh, you're just making excuses.
Yeah.
Jawline training.
What's that?
I have a good jawline, apparently.
Oh, well, no.
Thank you very much.
That's very true.
But they said Chad-like, so I don't know what that means. I have a Chad-like jaw.
Chad-like? What? Chad Mendes? He's got a good, good jawline. I don't know.
Okay. People agree.
People say so many things on the internet these days that, like there was a point where I'm like, I don't know what that means. I should be keeping up with this stuff. And then it got to the stage where I was like, nah, I'm just not interested anymore. Like, there's all kinds of different slang terms and stuff that people use on the internet. I'm just...
Yeah, I just go on Urban Dictionary.
Powerful jawline. There Thanks. You go. Powerful jawline.
So I can be like a Rod Tang. He's like...
You're not doing any of that with me in the corner.
Okay.
It's too stressful. It's already too stressful.
Sorry. Okay. No, I promise I'll be smart.
Okay. Oh. So main event?
Main event.
Okay.
Sean O'Malley. Dude, those pink shorts look good.
They did look good.
They look clean. Yeah. Like, he was fulfilling my, like, Kyra Gracie ultimate.
Yeah.
I don't know how to finish that without it coming across the wrong way, but.
You can't.
I can't.
You should finish it.
I should. Like, my ultimate Kyra Gracie fantasy, all right? I was about, like, 8 years old, and I saw Kyra Gracie with a pink gi on.
Pinky.
And she had like, but
you're saying it like they don't all know that photo.
Yeah, I know. You all know that. Like, you all know Gina Carano when she did that. Like, I don't know what that was.
You got it on your phone. I'm looking at you specifically. You've got it on your phone specifically. I know you have.
That's like
Kyra Gracie,
like peak level of like hotness, but like awesomeness. Okay, I'm not talking about the just doing that. Disgusting for me. I hate it. It makes me angry. But that, you know, she went out, did some sick moves. It was a commercial, like, choked the guy out, you know. I was just like, wow.
Pinky. Get me one.
And then I saw O'Malley and I was just like,
pink shorts.
He's living that Kyra Gracie.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen that commercial, just, you're welcome.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Welcome.
And I don't mean this in like a weird way.
No, not
I
weird.
I mean it in like a, I'd like to do the same.
Yeah.
Just not like I think about Kyra Gracie all the time.
Not all the time. Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Not,
it's gone
not
down
all
a
the
bit.
Time. Not all the
what
time.
What are people going to think about me? I shouldn't do these. It's better when I was just quiet.
Most of the photos of Kyra Gracie are on the inside of her wardrobe doors. So they're not visible to the public.
I've almost met her like a few times
almost.
As well.
She interviewed me, you know, in Brazil.
Oh, did she?
She was lovely.
Wow.
She was very nice, yeah.
Congratulations.
She wasn't wearing a pinky, though.
Well, she will be when I talk to her.
Is that right?
I'll just bring one if she's going to be around. Can you just wear this, please? Can I just see it and I touch you? Like, but not in a way.
And this is why she doesn't live stream, you see, because it slides down, downhill very quickly.
Wow. Wow, that's cool.
Let's take a breath. You right? Funny, your face has gone kind of a pink G color.
I shouldn't. Why are you telling me to finish it? You know where this was going.
Yeah, that's why.
Okay.
You know, you're welcome. So Sean looked fantastic. He looked superb. He looked very, very good. I could name a multitude of things that he did very well. But his ability to push and pull. And Marlon Vera, I mean, I love Marlon. He's a tough dude. He's always fun to watch. He just didn't get started. He just, he, like, there was, You know what I mean? Like, he tried a couple of times and he had a burst where it was like 30 seconds and then, like, he'd run onto a couple of jabs and he'd kind of, like, lose like, confidence. Do you know what I mean? And then it was just a beautiful performance from O'Malley. I do, however, think it was a little bit too bold of him to call out Topuria.
Yeah.
That's a big step. Beat Marab and Corey Sandhagen.
Yes.
And then I'm interested in that fight.
I feel, okay. Really want to see Sean O'Malley versus Corey Sandhagen, but I can't do that to my boy Marab.
Can't do it.
No. So it has to go in that way. Marab has earned it, even though that I would rather see the other fight. I do want to see this fight. Yeah. And even if Marab beats Sean O'Malley, I still want to see Sean O'Malley, Corey Sandhagen. Like, that's a fight that I do want to see.
Yeah.
But whatever is next title-wise for Corey Sandhagen would be better because he's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I would like to see Sandhagen via O'Malley because I want to see that fight.
Yeah.
I'm not, like, title fight, no title fight. I'm not interested. O'Malley versus Dvalishvili, I can see O'Malley just having 20 minutes, 22 minutes of this guy just on his case, can't get away from him. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I feel like O'Malley's. He's developed to a point now where it wouldn't be an obvious pick for me. Let me put it that way. Do you know what I mean? Like Marab's an absolute powerhouse, but similar to a button mashing striking style. Because he's so adamant to constantly get the takedown, there is a predictability to that.
Yeah, I feel like he's a bit open for counters.
Like, I feel like O'Malley's game and his relationship with his coach, they're very good at deconstructing fighters and finding those opportunities. And even in the smallest of moments in fights, he has the skills to be able to put his hands on someone. And, you know, it was incredible, really. Like, look at the timing on the knee that he landed on Chito. That would have put most people away. It was incredible that he was able to eat it. Like, if he'd have taken it on his nose, it would have completely smashed his nose. He took it on one cheekbone and it did a lot of damage. I mean, he was
on fire. I thought, because I felt like he wanted to get, obviously, he's the only guy he's ever lost to and stuff. He wants to show that, you know, it was just a fluke. That's why he keeps saying he's undefeated. He didn't feel skill-wise. But I felt like he just wanted to finish the fight so bad that at one point I was like, oh, is he going to run onto something?
Yeah.
So that was a bit that made me a bit scared. Because even his coach was telling him, like, dude, you're up on the scorecards. Just keep piecing him up.
Yeah.
You know, like, don't licking put your...
him up.
Oh, yeah.
You were less a new word you learned today, isn't it?
Yeah.
We were watching the UFC and it was the advert about the watchers, you know, takes a licking and keeps on ticking. And she didn't know that a lick is a slang.
I mean,
word,
like,
for
I kind of figured it out by context, but I've never heard anybody, like,
well, you thought say... the watch was waterproof or something. You can lick the shit out of this thing.
No. Yeah.
There's loads of good slang words for a punch or a strike.
Yeah.
But that's one of them, a lick. Anyway.
If on the comments you want to say
nothing. Nothing. You almost kind of graced it again, didn't you?
I almost did. Oh. I'm going to stop. Just one maximum. That's it.
Okay. Yeah, I thought he managed. Yeah, baby, look. She's look. I'll tell you this, and you like she won't tell you. I'll tell you, she's got elite level powerlifting scores. People always say, oh, maybe you should think about going down to strawweight and just blah 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 blah. She's the strongest in her division.
Yeah, but I'm also 3 foot tall, so lifting the weights is a little bit cheating for me.
Come on, baby, your people not built that those far. Pyramids. That's why you're so strong. You know what I mean? They got that Aztec blood. Telling you.
You can't say that.
You are a little bit European, but you're also a little bit South American, right?
What do you mean a little? I am South
there
American.
There you go. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Your people built those cool pyramids.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen like.
You need to watch Apocalypto. You need to embrace that stuff. Okay. I'm gonna get you a feather head dress. You can honestly. I would be if I was born in one of those South America countries that had any kind of Incan or Aztec vibe to it, any kind of relationship to that culture, I would be fully involved in it. It fascinates me, that stuff does. I went to Teotihuacan, didn't I? I bought all kinds of cool treasure back. I got loads of cool treasure. It's fascinating. It's just like, what were they building and why? And how? Amazing. You've not watched Apocalypto, have you?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a good movie. Jamie's nodding. Jamie knows movies. Jamie knows movies. It's a good movie.
Okay.
Good. Yes, some warriors for real. See? Aliens done it. Well, Jimmy, maybe. You know, this is a tangent for you. Because you've watched Ancient Aliens, so you will know who Giorgio Tsoulikas is. I went to watch him live do a talk at the Hard Rock in Vegas once. Honestly, it was... He's entertaining on Ancient Aliens. He is way out there in person. Way out there. Like, he's blow-dried his hair out massive. And I bought one of the little... Anyway, tangent. Dan Hardy wants ayahuasca. Dan Hardy has ayahuasca.
Dan's out here trying to put on his Pocahontas fantasy. Give a girl a break.
Hey, look. What? If she can do the Cara Gracie thing, you can't judge me.
Okay, so.
Veronica Apocalypto Hardy. That's not a bad nickname. Do you believe in aliens? Of course I believe in aliens. Because it would be so boring if I didn't.
Oh.
Aliens.
Tell me how you really feel.
What? You believe in aliens?
No, you just like, it'd be so boring.
Well,
like,
I mean,
I'm not right here.
Okay,
Do I not entertain you enough? I'm sorry.
Okay, not life in general. General life is fascinating, baby, of course.
Okay.
I'm talking like, you know, bigger picture. Like, if I was just thinking about, well, just the universe is just a vast void of nothingness. I'm like,
I'm not sure
whether you've noticed, but I'm a hardcore Star Wars fan. I need to get this charged up, Jamie. This is my lightsaber that Jamie bought me. It's not charged up right now. But when it is, we'll get it back. We'll get it on the podcast and you can hear it.
So you get some intense real fantasy.
Yeah, we'll have to get you some of those bread rolls that Princess Leia was wearing. I never got that one. I never, like, they talked about it on Friends, didn't they?
Dude, I don't know about the hair looking like Cinnaroll buns on her head. I don't know about that, yeah. But... That was...
Yeah? You're digging that, are you? Yeah?
Yep.
What about if she was chained to Jabba the Hutt wearing a pink Cara Gracie gig?
Maximum.
That's it.
Only if she managed to, like, choke Jabba the Hutt out with her legs. But how do you choke Jabba the Hutt out with your legs? This needs to stop.
She'd have to tag in Gabby Garcia to help her out with that. Holy moly. Holy moly.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye.
Is that it? End of the stream. Yeah, well, we could probably start wrapping this up because, you know, we've got training early in the morning tomorrow and all that.
Yeah.
We very much appreciate your joining us. Thank you. What? How long you all been on? We've been on Cristobal Balenciaga. I bet you had to pay a lot for that name. We've been on for a little while, just over an hour. You can go back and watch it, though. Obviously, you just can't interact with us. I mean, you can pretend to, but we won't be able to answer you back because it will have already happened. But thank you very much for joining us. We've very much enjoyed it. What are you giggling at?
This guy just...
Shit.
Coming on about my chin.
About what?
Just make it fun. There was an interview that I did, right? And the lighting was really bad. And then everybody just kept saying I had an Adam's apple, like a massive Adam's apple. I do not have an Adam's apple, okay? That was bad lighting. The camera was all, like, weird.
If Adam had an apple, you would take it.
Okay.
Okay.
I see. If y'all are done making fun of me, thank you. You know.
Yeah.
I feel like this show ended like 15 minutes ago.
No, it didn't. It didn't. There's still a lot of people interested.
About in, what? In,
I don't know. Whatever I was saying that you're talking about, pretty much. We've talked about everything, haven't we? I think we're good there. I think we're good. Thank you very much for joining us. Check out the War Room for this week. Of course, it will be up very, very soon. And like and subscribe, because we always forget to tell you that. We'll see you very, very soon. Thanks for joining us.